Hi everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode. Today, I thought it would be useful to do an episode on the violet flame. I'm not sure how familiar many of you are with the violet flame. I heard of it some years ago, and I had a teacher at some point talk to me about it, and we worked on it together very minimally, but I don't know that I noticed any of the impact. However, given the current circumstances that we're going through and just the nature of our situation, I thought that this would be a useful tool to kind of implement in your life. So let's go get started on the violet flame. The violet flame, which sometimes can be referred to as the violet fire, it's a unique spiritual energy that can help you in all areas of your life. It can heal emotional and physical problems, improve your relationships, help you to grow spiritually, or it can just make life maybe a little bit easier. The flame is the essence of a unique spiritual light. Mystics of all ages have glimpsed a spiritual spectrum behind the physical spectrum. Radiant colors, more pure and rare than those found on earth, emanate from a brilliant inner divine light. Just as a ray of sunlight passing through a prism refracts into seven colors, spiritual light splits into seven colors, or what we call rays, each of which has specific divine qualities. The violet flame comes forth from the violet ray, which has the qualities of mercy, forgiveness, freedom, and most importantly, I think, transmutation. The color violet has long been associated with spirituality. Having the highest frequency in the visible spectrum, violet is at the point of transition to the next octave of light. To the ancients, this transcendental color was a spiritual rather than a physical phenomena. Now, I wanted to talk about this for a second, about this whole spectrum, because I think that the color spectrum is very important, and I want to give you more of like a scientific background. So for those who are scientifically minded, here is probably the best explanation of why the violet flame works. And of course, we'll get more into that, but I wanted to give you kind of this foundation at the start. So in our physical world, violet light, it actually has the shortest wavelength of light, and therefore it has the highest frequency in the visible, in the physical spectrum. Since frequency is directly proportional to energy, the violet light also has the most energy. That means it has the greatest ability to change matter at the atomic level. And this is an actual fact. And that's why I think violet light being a way to transmute is probably, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. Now, I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about the spectrum of the physical spectrum of light. So as we're all aware of the rainbow, for example, right? Roy G. Biv, all of the colors. Well, from a scientific background, if you were to look at the wavelength of each of those colors of light, you would see that red corresponds to a longer wavelength, which means that it has a lower frequency. And as we move up through the rainbow colors, you'll see again that violet has the highest frequency, but it has the shortest wavelength. Now, if we kind of take a step back and think about that in reference to the chakras, there's some truth to this, because let's take it for an example, the root chakra, which is what? Red. What does it have to do with? Our beliefs about earth, anything connected to the earth. It is a very grounding chakra. It's our beliefs about protection, survival, etc. That energy is very dense energy, which is what has the lowest frequency on the physical spectrum, and it has a very long wavelength. And as you move up, even through the chakras, we can say the same thing about the wavelengths getting shorter and the frequency getting higher. I just wanted to give you guys kind of that background, because I think there is a lot of scientific truth to this. Now let's get back to the violet flame. So saints, mystics, and adepts throughout the ages have known how to use the violet flame, but it was only released to the public probably earlier this century by an ascended master that we've come to know as Saint Germain, and we'll talk about him a little bit later. And for those of you who are unaware, ascended masters are these enlightened spiritual beings who have once walked the earth, like you and me. They supposedly balanced their karma, or they paid their debts, and they fulfilled their reason for being here. They then ascended, or what people say, they reunited with quote-unquote God. And most of you are familiar with these ascended masters, Buddha, Krishna, even Jesus. So let's talk a little bit more about this violet flame. So while you can't go back in time, the violet flame has the power to erase or transmute the cause, the effect, and even the memory of our past mistakes. Transmutation means to change, to alter in form, appearance, or even nature. The violet flame changes negative energy into positive energy, darkness into light, and then I'm putting quotes around this, fate, into opportunity. The flame also erases the resultant bad karma of our mistakes. Our past actions, both good and bad, they do come back to us, as we all are aware. This is the essential foundational law of karma. This impersonal cosmic law, because it is impersonal, it decrees that whatever we do comes full circle to our doorstep for resolution. Simply, we all know this, what goes around comes around. In general, most people must pay their debts to life or balance their karma by selflessly reaching out and helping other people, by working through misfortunes that may come your way, or by passing through diseases or other forms of personal suffering. But it doesn't necessarily have to be so with the violet flame, apparently. I'm sure you guys are probably a little bit skeptical, and I am too, to be upfront. But the violet flame is able to transmute or at least mitigate our negative karma before it comes back to us. On the physical level, the violet flame can help heal our bodies by removing the karma that makes us vulnerable to illness and disease. But the real cause of disease is often rooted in our own mental, emotional, and spiritual states. This is what we are told reading a lot of metaphysical books today. I think for most of you who know me, I beg to differ just a little. I do think we choose these as lessons for us to grow and learn and evolve, which is kind of the end goal, but that's my personal opinion. Okay, so today we are discovering more and more about how our thoughts and emotions can affect our health. Research has shown that hatred and other negative thoughts and feelings actually create excess amounts of acid in the body that it cannot assimilate. These negative thoughts and feelings often originate in emotional and psychological problems, which the violet flame can help to resolve. The scars of old wounds and your painful memories, they can be healed and dissolved with the help, I would say, of the violet flame as it is applied. Let's talk about how the violet flame specifically works. The violet flame works by changing vibrations. In physics, vibration is the speed of oscillation, the speed at which something moves back and forth. On the atomic level, vibration can be understood to be the speed at which electrons orbit around the nucleus of the atom. The violet flame works by changing vibrations on this level. Atoms are mostly empty space. The empty space between the nucleus and the electrons is where negative energy and karma can become stuck. When the atoms in our bodies and auras become clogged with this negativity, the electrons, they whirl slower and slower, and we begin to resonate more with negativity and less with light. Thus, we have a lower vibration and become, quote-unquote, less spiritual in a way. The violet flame transmutes this negative energy. It does not simply surround and remove the energy, but it transforms it into light. Because there is less density within the atom, the electrons whirl faster and faster, thereby raising your vibration. when you have a higher vibration, there is more spiritual energy in your body. Yogis and even acupuncturists, they know that optimum health comes when the spiritual energy flows freely throughout the body. The violet flame frees up this energy and reestablishes harmony, and even equilibrium, propelling you into a more spiritual state of being. So essentially, the violet flame is a tool of self-transformation. Physical experiments in alchemy, whereby base metals are transformed into gold, are symbolic of what the violet flame does. So it's just like some sort of alchemical transformation. In medieval times, alchemists attempted to transmute base metals into gold. We all know that, using heat to separate the subtle from the gross. While there have always been alchemists who sought to create wealth by transmuting base metals, this process of transmutation is symbolic of a higher and more noble alchemy, the alchemy of self-transformation. Alchemists of the spirit did not seek physical wealth, but they sought spiritual wealth. They sought to transform themselves into more spiritual beings by becoming more loving, wise, and more compassionate. The violet flame has the capacity to bring about this transformation by transmuting negative elements within ourselves. It has the unique ability to transform fear into courage, anxiety into peace, and even hatred into love. Alchemists of all ages have sought the mystical philosopher's stone. Early alchemists pored over minutely ciphered texts in search of this stone. For some, it was worth a lifetime to decode the mystery of this stone, which symbolized the transmutation of the lower animal nature into the highest and the divine. This coveted philosopher's stone, the stone which is really no stone, was not physical, but spiritual and created out of fire. Some alchemists did discover the secret of the violet flame. According to some alchemists, the philosopher's stone was a self-transforming fire that would lead their souls upwards by drawing up to the spirit all qualities which dragged downward and opposed the spiritual essences. In the process, the hard and refractory materials in their bodies would be transmuted into a rare and more luminous material. In this sacred experiment, they said the alchemists would become like the gods, pursuing the gold of the wise and not the vulgar metal. Transmutation, then, was not just a process which turned base metals into gold, even though we're all aware that's the way it has been discussed for many years, but transmutation is really a spiritual process which raised the soul into a state of unity with the divine. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about how to actually use this flame. This is where it gets really detailed. I've researched this over and over, and I was trying to find the best way to talk about it on here. But first and foremost, let me just say it's really a good idea to set up spiritual protection before invoking the violet flame. After that, of course, find a place where you're not going to be disturbed and sit comfortably in a chair. And make sure that your feet are flat on the floor and that your legs and arms are in cross. This is what I read across the board in terms of how to begin to invoke the flame. Now, the violet flame is invoked through a set of decrees. And decreeing is a unique form of spoken prayer utilizing visualization and meditation. So I'm going to give you one of the simplest decrees to the violet flame that you can say as you're sitting down. I am a being of violet fire. I am the purity God desires. This is one of them that I found repeatedly. And after that, you can just take a few slow, deep breaths and then center yourself in your heart. start out slowly, giving the decrees with love, devotion, and even with feeling. Now, you can repeat this decree like 3 or even 9 times to begin with. You can gradually increase to even more. I've seen it where people can repeat like 30, 50, 70 times. That's totally up to you. However, repeating it strengthens its power and it draws down more light into yourself. Once you are familiar with this specific decree, you can close your eyes while giving it and concentrate on visualizing the violet flame. See yourself before, let's say, a large bonfire about 9 feet high and 6 feet wide. Color it violet in your imagination and see the flames pulsating and undulating in endless shades of violet with gradations of purple and maybe even pink. Then see yourself stepping into the flame. So the violet flame is where you physically are. See your body as transparent, with the flames curling up from beneath your feet, passing through and around your body, clear up over your head. A few minutes of doing the specific exercise of the violet flame, it will produce results. However, persistence is always needed to kind of penetrate those age-old habits that you really want to change. You can start out with just a few minutes of violet flame in the morning to help you through the day, and you can add the violet flame to whatever prayers or meditations you're currently practicing. You can use the violet flame and experience the healing, transformation, and spiritual upliftment that the alchemists of the spirit have sought for centuries. But if you really want the violet flame to help you, you have to work with it. So I do recommend that you try it for yourself. I'm curious to see how this goes for you guys. Now I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the person who has brought forth all of this information about the violet flame. And this is the person that we have identified as being, or not we, but has been identified in the metaphysical community as being Saint Germain. Saint Germain in history is referenced as the Count of Saint Germain, but I'm just going to stick to calling him Saint Germain for our purposes. So the history and interactions of Saint Germain with the courts of Europe are written about in documents, letters, autobiographies, even from the 18th century and beyond. The famous French philosopher Voltaire called Saint Germain the man who never dies and knows everything. He is referenced as being the wonderman of Europe, known in every royal court. He was not only able to speak flawless French, English, Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese, but he was also a known expert in Greek, Latin, Arabic, Chinese, and Sanskrit. I can feel the skepticism right now while I'm talking about this with you guys. He played the violin. He wrote poetry, and he really mesmerized the courts with stories of the past that he would tell to them as if he lived them through those times, or as if he was reading some sort of invisible record. The nobility whispered that Saint Germain had a mysterious elixir that kept him ever youthful and immortal. Day and night, Saint Germain worked as this mysterious healer who visited the poor and the helpless with secret herbs and remedies. He rescued the poor and wealthy alike, spreading his gospel of brotherhood and goodness. Saint Germain used these gifts of mastery to try and awaken the nobility in France to an awareness of their responsibility to bring about democratic improvements in the government without the specter of rebellion. The story of his countless attempts to reach the royal conscience is told in a number of historical works. He supposedly foresaw the French Revolution in the making and worked tirelessly for years trying to prevent it. He also told a few people at the royal court his prophecy while the French throne was still the strongest in Europe. And I'm going to give you a piece of his prophecy. He says, a gigantic conspiracy is being formed, which as yet has no visible chief, but he will appear before long. The aim is nothing less than the overthrow of what exists, to reconstruct it on a new plan. There is ill will towards the royal family, the clergy, the nobility, and the magistracy. There is still time to baffle the plot. However, later, this would be impossible. It is said that Saint Germain had it in his mind to help effect a smooth transition from monarchies, essentially, to republican forms of government. He knew the old order was passing and labored to establish a United States of Europe before the French Revolution would ultimately leave nothing good at all. So in a time of great desperation, Saint Germain was a beacon of religious toleration, and he was a teacher of a higher spiritual path and the prime mover towards individual liberty and responsibility. Saint Germain was the friend of suffering peasants, of laboring artisans, but he was also the friend of nobility. So he was the friend of all mankind, essentially. As France was in the throes of change, Saint Germain also began another major spiritual thrust on behalf of the Brotherhood of the Light for a republic and freedom, essentially what would become the United States of America. In America, the founding fathers based their state governments and then the federal government on enlightened philosophy and the rights of the individual. The writings of Sir Francis Bacon, a previous lifetime of Saint Germain, influenced both Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. And you kind of get the sense, in a way, when somebody reads the, I guess you can say, Declaration of Independence and even the Constitution, there's this call for this new order of the ages, right? The right of each individual to pursue his destiny, protected by a new form of government, and that's the call. Saint Germain's cause is the upliftment of humanity through an enlightened civilization. He embodies the practical application of the golden rule in all aspects of human life and culture. Saint Germain is the proponent of individual, national, and even global freedom. He is a true master, and you can also learn from him today. So if there's one word to kind of sum up who Saint Germain is or what he is about, he's about freedom. And it's said today that he is working with the light workers of the earth to bring about a spiritual revolution in higher consciousness and a new golden age. What I would kind of think is like the age of Aquarius, in my opinion. But such an age is a rare time of cultural ascendancy, where the divine potential of each person is protected, upheld, and even that all the nations of the world are free. Everyone is able to pursue their highest potential in this golden age, and now is supposed to be the time that we're invoking or bringing forth this this opportunity to achieve that golden age. Saint Germain has never stopped working behind the scenes to contact souls of light throughout the world. He has never stopped trying to prevent world wars or nuclear holocausts. He is always working behind the scenes to help man face all of these types of crises that are happening. So Saint Germain's mission is essentially to bring about individual freedom, peace, and even enlightenment to the earth. I guess you could say that this is his worldwide grassroots movement. And he calls it really the coming revolution and higher consciousness. And now this, you know, master, Saint Germain, is revealing this alchemical elixir of our time, which is his spiritual gift to us of transmutation. And this gift of transmutation can accelerate the soul on the path of spiritual liberation. And this is the violet flame, a spiritual light that actually transmutes and consumes negative energy. And this is one of the biggest discoveries of a lifetime, the violet flame. other thing I wanted to say about Mr. Saint Germain are some of the other lifetimes that he's come into as another person. And I think these people are kind of recognizable in a way, and that's always very curious to me when I read about these ascended masters who have other lives as very popular people that we're all aware of. I don't know. Trying not to be super skeptical, but I still think the violet flame probably works. So it's said that Saint Germain has, as I said earlier, come in as Sir Francis Bacon. He was also a high priest of Atlantis 13,000 years ago. It's also said that he was Merlin. And if you guys are all aware of the story of Merlin, I believe it was about the 5th or 6th century in Britain. He was a magician, a seer, and even the counselor at King Arthur's court, which is really awesome. He was also the prophet Samuel back in 11th century BC, who was a great religious leader who figured as a prophet, a priest, and the last of the Hebrew judges. It's also said that Saint Germain, and wait for it, was Christopher Columbus. I don't know how to feel about that, but I did find that information. And hey, anything is possible at this point. Anything is possible. But it is said that he was Christopher Columbus and that he voyaged to the New World. Anyway, I digress. But there are three texts that you can read by Saint Germain that I actually do recommend. When I first started on this path, for some peculiar reason, I was drawn to these texts and I read them, and I actually think they're really helpful and informative. So if you're interested in checking out Saint Germain and some of his works, here are the books that you can look at. The first book is called Unveiled Mysteries, and it's a series here. The second book is called The Magic Presence. And the very last text that you can get is the I Am Discourses. You guys, thank you so much for joining me today on this talk about the violet flame. If you're interested in learning more about it, I would totally look it up. The author that I would recommend is Elizabeth Clare Prophet, since she had a very close relationship with the Ascended Master Saint Germain, and she has a specific, it's a very little book on the violet flame, but it's a when I say it's little, it is actually really little. So you could probably read it in an afternoon. Thank you for tuning in today, you guys. I really appreciate it, and I hope that you've had a wonderful Easter and that you have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.